10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
A surprising amount of lesbian material for you tonight. But, oh my gosh, this is weather. It's winter, Dr. Dave.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Happiness theft, jolly old England, details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling, every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling, every damn night.
A random stabbing, details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling, every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I woke up at 1 in the morning, and I'm hearing all sorts of European accents. That only means one thing. You're binge-watching your stories.
Masterpiece Theater has to come out with them more often and not lump them all into one week.
Coming up tonight on Sterling, every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
The great John Fitzgerald Kennedy on his inauguration day. There was one line in there that is never mentioned, never quoted. They talk about the many other brilliant things he said, but there was one line just now where he said, "We have reached a point in the world, in humanity, where we are capable of taking every human being out of poverty, and we have the ability to obliterate every human being on earth. We could feed every human being on earth, take them all out of poverty, everybody. We can do that right now. Look at the amount of money Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have. Their billions, billions, and billions of dollars is greater than the population of the earth. Every single human being could be wealthy, secure, and fed. And that would still leave change on the table for Mr. Musk and Mr. Bezos and Mr. Soros. Everyone. Or, as Kennedy said, we have the ability, the nuclear capability, to obliterate every human being on Earth. The responsibilities have not changed. The capabilities have increased. Our ability to take every man and woman and child out of poverty is greater today than it was then, and it could have been done then. Or we can blow everybody up. That's the essence of this moment. That's the essence of every single moment since John Kennedy. Those capabilities were there. What surprises me Walter M. Sterling, because it has never happened before in my lifetime or yours. It has never happened before. This is a live radio show on Sunday night. Sterling every damn Sunday. This event has never happened before. Until now, and I don't understand it, okay? I'm talking about it. I'm sharing it with you because I don't understand it. And I do the show for you to call. I have a phone number. I'll give it to you in a second. But what I don't understand is that until now, if you voted for somebody and you felt like talking about it, we could have a cup of coffee, a grilled cheese and bacon, preferably a grilled cheese and bacon with Father Jim Drucker. We could have a Father Jim Drucker talk. I could have a talk with you, my best friend since college. You and I could have a conversation. And you could tell me why you liked the candidate you voted for or why you didn't like the candidate you voted for. Or you could say, I don't want to talk about it. And I'd immediately retreat and talk about the weather. Immediately retreat and talk about what was on TV last night. And you could ask me, hey, why'd you vote for who you voted for? And I could tell you. And we'd have the conversation. And we'd get bored with the conversation about a minute and a half. And then we'd order dessert and go, do I really need this chocolate cream pie? And the answer is always, yes, I need the chocolate cream pie. And I need the insulin. That doesn't happen today. And I don't get it. Because no matter who the candidate or winner is, they have tremendous assets and they have tremendous liabilities. No matter who it is, they have strengths and weaknesses. And until now, it could be a normal conversation or not at all. Or you'd listen to your mother who said, don't talk about politics. Just don't talk about politics. Well, Mom was right. But that's what puzzles me, because I'm on this station, it is assumed by all the people I've known all my life that I voted for Donald Trump. It was just assumed. And without asking me, without sharing their thoughts with me, they cut me off. Every single one of them. I don't know how that's transparent, humane, human, decent thing to do, right on. I don't know how that's a decent thing to do. Not the conversation of, well, he has some pluses and he has some minuses. And every candidate, the libertarian, has some pluses and minuses because we're humans. And that used to be a normal conversation that was about 20 minutes until we get really bored with it. And then we talk about the nude scene in our favorite movie. This is different, and I truly don't understand why, but it's tragic to me, because my very Democratic or liberal friends who voted for not Trump, and by the way, that's the whole 70 million people who voted for Carmella, they were voting for not Trump, because even if you're a hardcore Democrat, a cool Democrat, I'm like, you couldn't possibly support her. Because she didn't say anything. That was the thing. It's like, I don't know what her policies are. What? But we couldn't have the conversation. That was the tragedy. It's why I never talk about it on this show, because there are only two answers. And there isn't an actual conversation. There's hours of bashing that I don't get. And I'm not like some wonderful human being. I just am puzzled by this. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, on the eve of what I hope will be a spectacular 4 years for our great country. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Just about 2 hours outside of beautiful London is a hamlet called Norwich City. And Norwich City has been very, very concerned about their jiggle joints. They don't want an expansion of their thriving jiggle joint industry. So the city councilors, they've gone out of their way to hurt
our exotic dancers in England. So if you're on vacation and you like to go get a lap dance, Norwich, England ain't your place anymore. Here's why. When you go to the champagne room at any of the wonderful jiggle joints in Norwich, England, it's illegal for the dancer to get closer than 1 meter from you. A meter is about 30 inches. These dancers, how they make their money is not necessarily by dancing and disrobing, even though they make good money doing that. They really make their money on jumping on some jolly old guy's lap and doing some grinding. Caitlin Ward, 28, a veteran dancer of England, she said, "This is hurting the little guy. There was nothing toward happening in these clubs. Good, clean fun in the champagne room. But the Killjoys on the Norwich City Council, their crackdown is hurting women." What is it about government these days that's going out and hurting our women? I like our women. Protect them. Keep them safe. Lap dances keep families together. That's what I hear. Unless your wife finds out about it, and then maybe not. But it makes the man happy. And isn't that what it's all about? Happy spouse, happy house. Favorite dessert in England strip club. It's quite frankly the favorite dessert anywhere in Great Britain. It's called Spotted Dick. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night is fired by Alan Huggins.
As far as social media goes, you can follow me on the bulletin board at Kroger's or my chart.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
A random stabbing. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I woke up at 1 in the morning, and I'm hearing all sorts of European accents. That only means one thing. You're binge watching your stories.
Masterpiece Theater has to come out with them more often and not lump them all into one week.
Coming up tonight on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
There you are, knee-deep in news. You're surrounded by movie reviews, Emmys, Oscars, wildfires. How do you handle it, Boom Boom Hollywood? Mateus, how do you handle all of this news pressure?
Well, I try to stay away from litigious situations, Walter.
Thank you.
And that is the first thing I like to do.
Yeah.
and when I'm not, I just try to filter through, you know, the cream rises to the top. Most cases.
That's why I'm in the basement right now in the laundry room.
See, this is a clean show. At any rate, there's a lot going on. Do you want to hear about what's going on down here south in Southern California?
I want you to
53
make up
degrees.
I want you to make up your agenda. You got about 10 minutes. Go.
All right. It's about 53 degrees here in the Los Angeles area, and we've got pretty much clear skies, which is a really nice thing considering the absolute incredible disaster that's been happening around here. The wind's just blowing about 5.8 miles an hour. Of course, Cal Fire has reported that 88,000 people remain under evacuation orders. Health officials are asking people to use N95 masks, although the air's pretty nice tonight. The Palisades Fire and the Eaton's Fire, they burned 38,600 acres. The Palisades Fire is 50% contained now. That's 37 square miles. It's damaged 5,829 structures, totally destroyed them. 397 are damaged. So let me give you that number again. 5,829 structures destroyed in the Palisades Fire. The Eaton Fire, which has consumed 14,000 acres, or about 22 square miles, 85% containment. So things are really looking up. So there's a red flag warning because Monday through Tuesday, there's supposed to be some more high winds, which might spread some stuff a little bit more. But luckily, things are looking up. The thing that's really depressing about all of this, as I think about it, as so many people are displaced, there are thousands of technicians and craftspeople in the movie industry that have lost their homes and livelihoods in the fires. The true tragedy of fires lies not in the rich and the wealthy who have means to bounce back from adversity. Instead, I think the tragedy is the plight of the thousands of movie and television workers and related industries that have been enduring hardships because earlier they had the industry's downturn, they had all kinds of strikes. So these workers already struggling are now facing the devastating loss of their homes and livelihoods because of these fires. For them, this is a disaster that's a cruel blow from which recovery may seem insurmountable, but I sure hope they get it. The light at the end of the tunnels, the Oscars, the announcements have been pushed back to January 23rd, and the Critics' Choice Awards will now happen February 7th. So hopefully that'll show a little bit of pride in the industry and hopefully get people focused on hopeful things rather than the tragedy that's in front of them. Now, for the rest of the country, of course, movies continue to entertain. There's a new movie out I'd really like to talk about. That's September 5. And this movie is really great, Walter. This takes place at the 1972 Olympics in Munich when Israeli athletes were taken hostage and flown by helicopter to the local airport in an uncertain future. As these developments were unfolding, the producers at CBS Sports, who were there to cover the games in the Olympic Village, we're sharing early satellite technology, airtimes, with other networks to get these stories across the globe. But they somehow managed to get a hold of that satellite when these Israeli athletes were taken hostage and covered live instead of CBS News. But CBS Sports managed to wrangle this story and tell this amazing story as it happened live. It's really a fascinating look with actors Peter Skarsgård and Ben Chaplin portraying key players in getting this story told, as well as Peter Jennings, who's played by Benjamin Walker, delivering the narrative from the scene to viewers back home as a line producer played by John Magaro keeps the control room running against all odds. It's just extraordinary in its attention to detail, and even though you know what's going to happen, you're on the edge of your seat from the first scene to the last. It is a really great example of what really goes on to get a story on the air, and it is a fascinating slice of broadcast history.
September 5th. September 5th. Now, in the Oscar race, the best picture, they keep talking about a movie that you hated. Tell me about that movie that you hated, because I have no interest in seeing it, and when you described it, I'm like, okay, that sounds really depressing and horrible, and they keep talking about best director and best movie. I'm like, really? No one's seeing that movie.
No, I think most people watch it, and at intermission, there's an actual intermission in this movie. They walk out scratching their head. What is it about?
Yeah,
I don't remember the name. The Brutalist.
The Brutalist.
It's aptly titled. You're the ones that's brutalized by the time you're finished seeing the movie. It's not even showing up in the top 10 box office right now. So it's not making a lot of money, but it certainly is getting accolades from young people that I think just are stunned by the negative nature of it. There's something about young people that like to somebody's life destroyed, and they think that's cool on film, the narrative of this architect played by Adrian Brody. And his life goes from bad to worse and worse. Some good actors in there. Adrian Brody, of course, is a fine actor, and Guy Pearce, the Australian actor, also very good. But my God, what a horribly depressing and dark, dark film. They shot it on VistaVision, a wonderful process, but most of it is shaky camera work. It's horrible. It's just ghastly. It's horrible. So I call BS on anyone that thinks this is a masterpiece.
Is it a British movie? You know, we tend to be suckers for, like, British movies.
No. It's made in the United States.
It's made in the United States by a young director
that thinks that he's the world's greatest thing. Brady Corbett is his name.
Yeah, he has one of those names. Now, the... What film do you think should be the best picture of the year?
I think Clint Eastwood's Juror Number 2 was absolutely the best thing I saw last year. It was just really solid, really good movie. It's streaming now on HBO. You can see it there. I hope it'll be a dark horse for the Oscars.
What is that movie about, Juror Number 2? What's it about? Why should I watch it on TV now?
Well, I think that you will like the performance of Nicholas Holt, who is a juror on a trial, who suddenly discovers that this murder trial he might be involved with. And he's faced with the moral dilemma of whether he should tell that he was actually at the place and location of the murder when it happened and may have inadvertently and unintentionally participated in it. What should he do? J.K. Simmons is also in this movie, and he's great. It's a wonderful, solid movie for adults.
Got it. All right, Boom Boom Hollywood, how do we find you on Facebook?
Matthias Bombal's Hollywood on Facebook. That's MatiasBombal, Hollywood. And one more time, MatiasBombal, Hollywood on Facebook. And I thank you, Walter.
I have watched a lot of clownish television reporters doing stand-ups from the fires. And it's just as bad as when they're doing stand-ups from the hurricanes. What do we see? We see a center shot of them in their field jacket, trying to look cool. Meanwhile, I want to see what's way to the left of them or way to the right of them. I want to see burned-out houses. I want to see the destruction. We have had almost no sense of the destruction because either we're seeing a reporter and nothing else saying he's at the scene. We don't know if it's true. Or they shoot one house. They'll, like, shoot one house rather than a long shot so we can see that all of the houses in Malibu hanging over the beach are gone. $10 million each. For the first time in decades, you can drive Pacific Coast Highway and actually see the Pacific Coast. But we don't see that on TV. And the point I'm making here, Matthias, is that you have given a far better and top-notch journalistic review of the fires than anything I've seen on clownish television. And I'm grateful to you for that. In fact, Matthias, I think we should submit your reports for an award. Don't you think we should do that, like a Murrow Award, something like that?
My favorite reward is the happy midnight misfit that loves this show as much as I do.
You're the best. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night. It's about 47 past the hour. What? Yes, this is a live show, and I've got a live phone. The number is 855 839-1210, 855-839-1210, and I look forward to talking to you. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Because if someone's looking at me, calls me sir, what they are seeing is top shelf, normal, king of the humans, a straight white man. Don't apologize.
Sterling, every damn night, inspired by Daughter's Secrets.
Every family member has that one daughter that's expensive, that's mentally unstable, with anger issues, with a short temper, and that hates loud noises, but she's the loud one. Is that you?
Oh, yes, I have three of those. All right, Walter M. Sterling with three daughters and two female cats. And therefore, I have a special need for guy space. And I have a wife, and therefore I have a special need for guy space. And progressively, guy space is being taken over by Target. It's being taken over by Roblox, Minecraft, and of course, TikTok.
TikTok is back. You know, I did a little TikTok thing. We have a guy, TikTok Jack. He's a young kid, like 21 years old. And we hired this guy, and I went on TikTok. Can you believe what I'll do to win an election? We won the youth vote by 36 points. So I like TikTok. I like it. I like it. I had a slightly good experience, wouldn't you say?
It's 53 past the hour, Sterling, every damn Sunday. But the space for guys to be guys is both lambasted, minimized, diminished, and that's the good stuff. Or it could wind you up in court for things that your father, grandfather did that nobody noticed, nobody cared about. one of the few remaining places where you can be a guy, in theory, is a barber shop. Except that that ended around 1978, when men found themselves going to salons. And I'll tell you the key difference between a salon and a barber shop is the chair. A salon chair, a chair designed primarily for women customers, the minute a guy sits in it, I'll tell you a secret. A guy feels he's gonna break that chair. That chair feels as though it's about to fall apart. It looks too delicate. It looks like a Barbie chair. That's the chair you got in a Barbie dream house. Malibu Barbie dream house. You sit in that chair, feels like the arms are about to come off. If they try to pump it up to get it up higher, you don't think it can actually lift you. You suddenly feel like a Buick sedan, that there's no way it can be lifted for you. And then you're surrounded by women getting their hair shampooed, and they say to you things like, do you want a pedicure? Would you like a manicure while you're here? No. And I hate it. I hate it when they want to shampoo my hair. And the minute I go to a salon, they always want to shampoo my hair. I can't stand it. I've got this both a physical reaction to being back with water running over my head and that vulnerable feeling of not being in charge, because we're men. We need to be in charge. We need to have the delusion. Well, let me tell you, there are a few real barbershops left with men's barber chairs. Big, heavy, Captain Pike barber chairs. And one of them is the Mug and Shave in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. And I go there whenever I go to see my in-laws, which is always against my will to begin with. I go there, and you know what? You know what's in this place? Men. And the barbers are men. And some of the barbers are women, and they don't care what you say. That is the difference between a gathering of men and women focused on the needs of men and not. Men say stupid crap all the time. And the only way a guy can truly relax is to be able to say stupid crap without repercussions, without even needing to think of repercussions, without even being afraid of anything. I'm sitting in that barber's chair with Dutch, the owner of the Mug and Shave in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. I'm sitting there in Dutch's chair, and he starts telling me a stupid joke. Now, I can tell it's a stupid, very sexist joke, even though I don't get it. I didn't get it, but I was in the club. The owner of the barbershop, Dutch, was telling me a stupid joke. And a guy joke that I'd repeat if I could remember, but I can't remember anything at this point. And what do I always get? I always get a perfect haircut there. And what do I have to tell them to do? I tell them one thing. Leave the ears covered. Once I made the mistake at one place, not there, saying, leave it over the ears. And they thought it meant cut it above the ears. So now I have to be very clear. Leave it over, because I'm one of the Beatles, as you know. The Mug and Shave. If there were more places where guys could just go to be guys, they wouldn't be as big an a-hole when they got home, because it would have all been vented. It would have all gotten out. They would have all felt good about themselves. They wouldn't need to. They could come home and say, sure, what do you need? How can I help you make dinner? How can I help you do that? I'll make dinner. You go away. Mug and Shave. Chagrin Falls, Ohio. That's what men need. Men need more places to just be stupid guys. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
At 06 and 36 every hour on Sterling, every damn Sunday, we have up-to-date weather. These conditions demanded. Now, Dr. Dave.
More news.
day and night around the clock. It's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the Craigslist car thief. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
A random stabbing. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I woke up at 1 in the morning, and I'm hearing all sorts of European accents. That only means one thing. You're binge-watching your stories.
Masterpiece Theater has to come out with them more often and not lump them all into one week.
Coming up tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough. J.B. Bakery. Selena and Steve. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Do you have a lot of snow in Burlington, New Jersey, Steve? Selena, do you have snow yet?
Hey, Walter, I just got done shoveling Selena's car out of the snow, so she's ready to go.
How much snow was it?
I'd say there's a good 5 inches, maybe 6, because we still got some snow coming down here. And plus, it was a lot of work just digging the bakery out and getting it ready for tomorrow morning, because it's a holiday and people will be out.
Well, digging your girlfriend's car out of the snow is the bare minimum for a boyfriend to do. You do know that.
Fill it up with gas too, so probably have to do that too.
Did you fill it up with gas yet? Have you done that, Stephen?
That's like one of those things you got to do before the storm. So yeah, that's done. That's taken care of. So I'll follow up with a good car wash afterwards, and I'll probably make her a nice dessert too.
How much was the gas? How much did it cost to fill up that car in Jersey?
I'm paying, I think it was $3.65 because it takes Super. She's got one of those fun cars.
So how much was a tank of gas?
It's a smaller tank, so it's like $50. But it uses it, efficiently, so it's not too bad. It's really not that bad.
Let's go back to the premium gas. Why does this car need premium gas? Which car is it?
It's got a big V8 in it. It's got a nice V8. It's a little sports car, but it has a big engine, so it's got to take the 93. It's got to take the high octane. So it's definitely cheaper here. I know we're all the best. I got my eyes peeled on the, good prices. So I'm like you. I got to find the best deals. So, and it's got to be good gas. It can't be that. No name red, white, and blue gas. It's got to be, like a yellow and red gas. It's got to be good.
The cheapest gas for me, I have to go to the ghetto. I have to go to an insanely dangerous place where about once a week online I'll read there was a shooting at that gas station. Therefore, I only go at noon, and I also buy the fried chicken.
Fried chicken and gas, I don't know about that combination right there, but I always heard that the best prices for some reason are in the wealthier cities, the wealthier towns, because the wealthy people don't really drive too far. They don't drive that much. But in the low-income homes, there's too many people working and driving all the time, so they have higher gas prices. I don't know if it's true. You might have to have somebody call in about that one.
You and I are talking to Steve the Baker, who owns J.B. Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, the official bakery of Sterling Every Damn Night, not because he buys the time. This is not product placement. I have respect for entrepreneurs. This is a young entrepreneur, and his smarter-than-him girlfriend, Selena, who's a skilled ballerina and college student, And they run this great bakery. That's like your grandmother's bakery. You walk in, it smells like a real bakery. And they give out cookies to the kids, and he bakes everything there. He doesn't even buy the holiday cookies in the box. He doesn't even buy those wholesale. He bakes everything. And last time he was on, he gave us a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And that's all I want you to talk about tonight, Stephen, because that's the right kind of recipe, buddy. We can all make it, and everybody we know likes chocolate chip cookies. Therefore, again, if you want Stephen the Baker's chocolate chip cookie recipe, just send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I'll send you the recipe. Stephen, give me a highlight or two of the chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Okay, fun and easy to make. Most ingredients are already in people's kitchens. And what's good about this is that it uses all basic ingredients. But I like the Guittard extra dark chocolate chips. So try to find that brand. Usually you can find it at Whole Foods, maybe ShopRite. Extra dark Guittard chocolate chips. I like to call them the Midnight Misfit chocolate chips. A lot of rich flavor, real cocoa. And it just makes an amazing chocolate chip cookie. And Selena will tell you the little, you know, pro tip for what makes this chocolate chip cookie the best.
What is that, Selena?
So our favorite thing to do is right as soon as the chocolate chip cookies come out of the oven, as soon as you put them down, grab a little bit of sea salt. You can do flaky salt or just regular salt, whatever you have. And then just sprinkle a little bit on each cookie. And it'll set as the cookies cool. And then when you bite it, it really brings out the chocolate flavor, and it just takes the cookies to another level. And everyone will know that you didn't just cut them off of the log of cookie dough if you make them like that.
And yet you can have the log of cookie dough on the side to eat while you're making this fancy recipe.
Yes, that's how I would do it.
That's how I would do it. Stephen, Selena, if you want their chocolate chip cookie dough recipe, their chocolate chip recipe, and you do, because you have nothing to do tomorrow. It's either going to be snowing or you have a day off. You've earned the day off. Make great chocolate chip cookies. Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E-R. You'd be stunned at how people spell it. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Steve and Selena, good luck with the price of gas. By the way, when I go to the ghetto, I get the gas for $2.69 yesterday. $2.69. Now, there is a downside to going to ghetto gas. Besides the fact it's a brand I've never heard of, the ghetto gas, there's a risk, and the risk is this. Once I went to ghetto gas, and unlike any other gas station in the world, I spent $30 on the gas, and they held an additional $30. I spent $30 for the gas, and they held an additional $30 on my card for like a week. They got a hold on it for a week. I'm like, this is gas. It isn't an airline ticket. It's not a hotel room. It's gas, the ultimate commodity. And that's the big risk. And then another time I was there, and the next day I had 24 charges for $23.17 at a Ukrainian supermarket in Ukraine. That would have been a fraud alert. Therefore, what I do now, and this is my tip to you, if you go to ghetto gas stations to get the cheapest price, and you should, but get the cash out of the ATM, pay it in cash. You won't have any of these troubles. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
And the gayest nickname is a nickname that your partner made up for you off the top of their head that has no rhyme or reason. I call my girlfriend Bean. Why? 'Cause I'm gay.
Talking jive, bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari.
Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my days working as a detective with the NYPD's Auto Crime Division. So in my 20 years with the NYPD, I always had good supervisors to work with, in patrol and the detective bureau. They worked with me, I worked with them. Until my 19th year, I got saddled with this 30-something-year-old sergeant who had no investigative experience, and he owned a lawn care business, which dictated our schedule. So in the summertime, when he was out mowing people's lawns, we had to do 4 to 12s. In the wintertime, we had to do days because he had a snow removal service. So it was very frustrating to get a work schedule going. So one day I get a phone call from this guy, and he was looking to buy a car on Craigslist, this Lexus, and he's emailing this guy, and he calls the guy up, and he asks the guy for the VIN number. He doesn't want to buy a lemon, and this potential buyer plugs in the VIN number in Carfax, and the car is reported stolen from New Jersey. So this guy calls up the Auto Crime Division and says, listen, I almost got screwed. I almost bought a stolen car, so he hands it off to us. So what I do is I contact the insurance company. I make sure it's a valid claim. And yes, the car was stolen from New Jersey 2 months ago. So what I do is I email this character and we go back and forth and I ask him for his phone number and I call him up and I said, yeah, I'm interested in buying your car. And he says, yeah, well, why don't you come out tomorrow about 5 o'clock? I says, great. So I explain this to my sergeant. And I says, listen, I'd like to go out there. The buy is set for 5 o'clock. I'd like to leave about 3 o'clock so we can conduct counter surveillance, drive around, make sure that it's not a setup. Yeah, yeah, sure, no problem. Following day, 3 o'clock. Hey, you ready to go out to Queens? You go out with your partner and I'll follow behind. I says, but boss, I need a field team to make this buy. Yeah, yeah, I'll be out there. I got your back. I said, okay. My partner and I get out there. We're sitting on the house for 2 hours. It's getting close to 5 o'clock. No sergeant in sight. I get on the radio and I raise him. Yeah, yeah, we're coming over the bridge now. Well, when are you going to get here? Well, just go and make the buy. So I'm saying to myself, this guy wants me to make a buy with no field team around. If things go sideways, heads are going to roll. But I said, okay, he ordered me. Knock on the door. Kid comes out. My partner and I are talking to him about the car. I'm looking at it. I says, can I see the title? Kid hands me a bogus New Jersey title. With that, my partner and I slap the cuffs on him. Place him under arrest. Just as we're about to leave, who shows up but my sergeant and his driver? Oh, great. Let's head into the precinct and fill out the paperwork. So you can't make this stuff up. You think NYPD things go smoothly? It doesn't. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling every night, inspired by bad TikToks.
You both want my number.
Very much so, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not a homewrecker.
We don't live together.
It's an open relationship.
Also, Patrick has a girlfriend.
I do not. Hey, come hang out with us later. They put you up at the hotel in Flushing, right? We're in room 206.
Want me to come tuck you in?
No. We just keep talking about tennis.
Good night.
Every damn Sunday, every damn Sunday, Walter M. Sterling. Here's your number, live, 855-839-1210. Mug and brush. Dutch, mug and brush. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night, Dutch.
Hey, Walter, how are you, bud?
Mug and brush.
Hey,
right?
I wanted, yes, mug
yes,
and brush,
thank
that's
you.
It.
In Chagrin Falls, Ohio, I go to see my in-laws as little as possible, but whenever I do, I try to time it to get a haircut at an actual barber shop. And the key
we
definition...
appreciate it.
And the key definition, Dutch, is you have chairs for men, not those sad little Barbie chairs from the Barbie dream house that look like they're going to fall apart when a man sits in them.
Nope. Yep. Those chairs are the same chairs that have been there for 65 years. I got guys who got their first cut in that chair when they were 1 year old. And they are getting to be old men, and they're still sitting in the same chairs. That's why I keep them. I want. It's nice when you go somewhere and somebody, nothing changes, you know. You know that it's always going to be there for you, that you can go there, and it's the same thing, and they love it, you know. I will never change those chairs out. They've served us so well, and everybody loves them, and it's nice to go back to a place where, you know, it's nothing changes, and that's what we are down there. It's a great place.
It's also a great place for me personally to be the youngest person in an establishment. It, And I can, the beauty of your barbershop, Dutch, is that I can say whatever I want. Nobody cares. You have some women working there from time to time. They don't care. They're worse than the guys. And I was asked by my friends if there's a poker game in the back. I said, much better. There's donuts in the back.
Oh, we got donuts. We got Slivovitz. We got everything back there. We got everything in the back room back there. You know, and we are the no judge zone. We don't judge anything down there. You just let anything fly, and everybody's good with that.
The other thing that's impressive in barbershop commerce, every one of your chairs is full. Every chair is full all the time.
Yeah. Yep. We got guys waiting. Yeah, I mean, we're fair. We don't charge people a lot of money. You know, I can't do that, especially in this economy. Everything inflation has gone through. I found a way to cut corners so we don't have to pay so much for this, so much for that, and we haven't gone up on our prices. You know, we tried to make it so that everybody can come in. You know, it's just, we try to do more volume, and we try to make it fair for everybody.
What's interesting to me is, as a customer, is that you'll have people lined up every chair on both sides, the waiting side and the barber side, and it moves. It moves. I never feel as though I've waited a long time. Dutch, you're a great guy. The barbershop is Mug and Brush. It's in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. I don't wish anyone having to go to Ohio, but if you do, you want to go to the Mug and Brush, you want to say hi to Dutch, and I thank you for your friendship.
I appreciate
Dutch.
It. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
Sterling,
you.
Every damn Sunday, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, a real barbershop. Can you imagine? And they don't shampoo. You want your hair shampooed? You go home. No shampooing, no coloring, no manicures, no pedicures. You sit there and you get to be a guy. A guy. Mug and Brush, Chagrin Falls, Ohio, Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by seduction.
I'll go to your room, but you have to seduce me.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
A random stabbing. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I woke up at 1 in the morning, and I'm hearing all sorts of European accents. That only means one thing. You're binge watching your stories.
Masterpiece Theater has to come out with the more often and not lump them all into one week.
Coming up tonight on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Kevin in Newtown, welcome to the Giant Radio Show.
Hello, Mr. Sterling. How are you?
I am honored to be speaking to Newtown, which is where there's going to be a giant remote broadcast tomorrow on 1210 WPHT at the Newtown Health Club. Is that
Athletic Club.
Athletic Club. And they're going to start at 6 in the morning, the last place
we
I want to be at.
6 a.m.
Yes. Why would anybody want to be at a athletic club at 6 a.m.? But I'm sure the money is good, and we're happy to be there.
Yes, I will be there with plenty of gifts for the three hosts and Mr. Almquist. I've already got my gifts all lined up, so.
I was shocked that Mr. Zioli will not be there.
Yeah, well, you know, I did own RichZiolisucks.com, but I did let that one expire.
And now you have Greg Stocker Sucks, right?
Of course. Well, that was the one that catapulted everything. And again, you go there, it is the general donation page for Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation. It's, they're never meant evil. There might be some parody stuff, but Greg Stocker Sucks always goes to a charitable cause.
I have two things to say about Greg Stocker. Would you like to hear them?
Absolutely.
All right. First of all, there is no other program director in America like Greg, because there's no other program director that dresses down to come to work.
Correct.
And there's no other program director that knows exactly what's going on, but chooses to always appear confused.
Yeah. Well, so to give you a backstory of actual how it came to be, with respect to the YouTube, you know, feed, live feed in the morning. The morning I grabbed the domain name, I'll never forget it, was June 28th, 2024. And, no, 23. And Greg in passing had said something like, oh, I suck. Just like that. Ding, ding, ding. Light bulb went off. I went to go see that it's available, so I bought it. I also happened to be the winner of the Mystery Morning Movie clip that day, which was a pair of James Taylor tickets. Huh? So I won the tickets, and Nick's like, oh, you want them, you want them. I said, okay, thanks. Really appreciate it. But guys, I got to let you know, I just picked up CraigStockerSucks.com. And Greg, of course, he being self-deprecating, that's why I did it. And that evening, Rizzioli broadcast, and one of the hours, because he labels it by chapter, was dedicated just, it was called, I can send you the link, GregStockerSucks.com. Because he had the executive director of Families Behind the Badge in studio, and I ended up meeting him at the mock debate. And as I was leaving to say my goodbyes, he just goes, oh man, you made Rich's day.
Yeah.
He was just
all right, now listen,
grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, now listen, Kevin, because this is a national show. This is the national show on Sunday nights, the national show. I need to explain to Sacramento and to Maine who you are. So let me explain it this way. Greg Stocker is the brand manager of WPHT in Philadelphia, a giant radio station that I have made much, much bigger. And Kevin here is one of our biggest fans and our best fan because he's a Philadelphian. And the great thing about Philadelphians is they just tell you the freaking truth. And therefore, you're a great friend. Kevin, thank you very much for calling tonight. Thank you very much for calling Sterling every damn night at 855-839-1210. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Welcome to Nellyville. Get a half a meal, son. Get to Danville soon as they can hitch the wheel. And all this time is the size of the A. Oh, yeah, 9 years get 1/3, 2 years get 2/3.
She just moved right up the back for me. And she got the hots for me, the finest thing my mind has seen. Oh no, no, she got a man and a son though. Oh, but that's okay, cause I wait for my cue and just listen. Play my position like a show star. Pick up everything, mommy, and then in no time I bet I make this with her mind. And that's for sure, cause I never been the type to break up a happy home. But it's something about baby girl, I just can't leave alone. Tell me, mom, what's it gonna be? She said,
you don't know what you mean to me. All I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, oh, you know I'm crazy over you. No matter what I do, all I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, you know I'm crazy over you.
I see a lot in you looking. I never say a word. I know I thought I can trip and I heard about the girls. No way, hey, Nelly gon' fight over no day. As you can see, but I like your steeze, your style, your whole demeanor. The way you come through and holler and swoop me in his two-seater. Now that's gangsta, and I got special ways to thank you. But don't you forget it, but it ain't that easy for you to back up and leave him. But you and Dirty got ties for different reasons. I respect that. And right before I turned to leave, she said,
you don't know what you mean. To me, all I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, oh, you know I'm crazy over you. No matter what I do, all I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, you know I'm crazy.
coast. I know you want me right.
You don't know Midwest, what you mean to me.
Every night, inspired by Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
That's right. Now listen, very excited and very happy that some of the hostages in the Israeli-Hamas conflict have been released. But I want you to remember something that I revealed here first when this first happened in October 7th of 2023. I got in touch with somebody in Tel Aviv, not a reporter, not an official person, not somebody who works for the State Department. I got in touch with a bus driver in Tel Aviv, Dov. And I said to Dov, how do the people of Israel feel about Donald Trump? This was 18 months ago, I asked him. You, your friends, your passengers, what is your point of view about President Trump?
What is our point of view on President Trump? We felt a lot more support from President Trump when he was president. There seemed to be a lot more talking between President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. In essence, our view on President Trump is very positive. There was a lot more support from Trump on Israel, on the Israeli government. A lot more where there was a mutual bonding and a mutual acceptance between Bibi and Trump.
There it is. You're telling me the people of Israel wanted Donald Trump 18 months ago. And that's all I needed to know. If I had any doubts about who should be president of the United States, the bus driver in Tel Aviv answered that question. The people of Israel supported Donald Trump. For some reason, all of his critics forgot that his grandchildren are Jewish. He moved the embassy where the Israeli people wanted the embassy moved to. And how this conflict started, I think, is worth mentioning, repeating, driving home. You're in your kitchen. It's a beautiful October morning. You are feeding your toddler. Your three-year-old's in the high chair getting breakfast from you. You're alone. Baby's in the high chair. And wait. You look out your window. Whoa. Over there, there seem to be three figures in all black. And they're coming toward your house. And it's just a house, a normal home. It's not a hospital, military installation. It's just a house. And you're alone with your toddler. And the three people, all in black, are carrying military-grade weapons, giant rifles. And one of them comes to your back door and slams it in. The other two slam in your windows. They grab you and your toddler, who starts screaming. And they kidnap you and take you away. And your crime was feeding your kid in Israel. That was your crime. That's how that conflict started. In October 2023, that's how it started. Hamas came over the border, came to residences, innocent people, parks, concerts, took people, took them away. One of the concert goers was released and is missing two fingers. Poor girl was captured for 18 months. And comes home missing two fingers. And I remember this. No matter what you and I think or do, it is our job as human beings to protect the mission and the life of Israel. Because when the Jews were taken to the concentration camps in the trains, they had to pay for the tickets. $6 for adults, $3 for children. Babies went free. Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh my gosh, you know what it is? It's winter. And that's why you and I need Dr. Dave Eisen.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Dave Scott, oh my gosh, look at you. Dave Scott in Canada, where it's even colder than it is on the East Coast of the United States of America. Mr. Scott, sir. Now, there is big news in the UFO world. Dave Scott's an expert on UFOs, metaphysics, Bigfoot, all the things that we actually watch the History Channel for, and the things that we discuss as men. This is very much a masculine point of view and topic. This week, there was a News Nation report featuring a round orb that reportedly was proof of UFOs. Now, Dave, I went to college. What's that, Dave? What is that? What was that noise?
Oh, that was my door. When we do a show, I'm always checking the weather for you. Because I know you're interested in the weather.
Right. Don't do the door thing. It's not a progressive rock station in the 60s. Now, listen. So I watched this News Nation report with our friend Mr. Coulthard, with Ross Coulthard.
Yes.
And I watched it twice. And is it me, or did I not see this orb?
Well, you saw it. You saw it on the video. So what Ross Coulthard with News Nation put out yesterday was about an hour-long report of a gentleman named Jake Barber who has...
Who did, by the way, I'll shut up. Right, I'll shut up in a second. But the person he interviewed did not blink. Were you disturbed that this man did not blink? He looked stunned by his very existence. And then this was 55 minutes of padding, a lot of film. And then we saw something, I'm not sure what, and it wasn't for very long. Now I'll shut up.
Well, Jake Barber didn't blink. I think I counted three blinks through the entire interview. And believe it or not, Walter, you and I are on the same wavelength because I was like, blink, my man, blink. Come on, do something with your eyes. And he's one of those people who has very large eyes that tell a real deep story. And this is the name of the latest whistleblower that has come out. He's formerly of the U.S. Air Force, where he apparently worked on helicopters. He is now a helicopter pilot. Going in and out of areas. He said he was contracted at a place what they called the range, which we are believing was inside Area 51. Now, on this particular night, he was asked to pick up a crash retrieval. Not knowing what it was, he flew his helicopter over the area with his crew, and they actually filmed picking up what looks to be an egg. Not a human-sized egg, but probably an egg that was 4 to 6 feet long, maybe 4 feet wide. And it was tethered to the helicopter about 100, 150 feet below. And they got night vision film on this object since it was at night. He claims that he was told later by the now defunct UAP task force that this was indeed a UFO. Many, though, are arguing this point today, Walter, on X, and it started yesterday, including numerous veterans who have black ops and top secret clearance, or at least once held it, saying that this was not a UFO, but in fact it was something else, something human, including a type of balloon that they are using in order to do testings for weaponry and testings for weather and all sorts of things. So once again, whistleblower comes out. Jake Barber is his name. And the entire UFO world is really scrutinizing absolutely everything that he is saying. Now, one thing that I found very interesting about his conversation was that he said there was some kind of psionic energy that he believes was coming from this alleged craft that was really making him feel very emotional and very concerned about what was happening to it, almost like it was lifelike. Now, he went on to get into the psionics aspect of everything, where many people believe that they can summon UFOs. Now, they showed video of this testing during the Ross Coulthard report, and I can tell you firsthand that that part was true. That part was completely true because I've done it myself. Yes, people, if you're in the right type of frame of mind and have meditated on your consciousness and everything, there are people out there who claim you can summon UFOs around you. So there was really two sides to this story. It was the UFO crash retrieval side, and then the psionic side of the human brain, that if you're connected to these craft, that you're able to actually summon them into view.
But what did we see?
We saw an egg at the end of a tether.
Right. How long did we see the egg at the end of a tether? How long was that on? 20 seconds?
That was on maybe 20, 30 seconds.
And did it maybe did it look like an egg? How big did it look to you?
To me, it looked about the size of, you know, maybe half the size of a small sedan car. It didn't look heavy. No. A lot of people are complaining that the helicopter blades did not create any wash of dirt on the ground. Yeah. Where I tend to maybe argue that a little bit, because knowing that you know, compact dirt, much like compact snow, it isn't going to move under a helicopter blade. You know, so there is a lot of tension around that right now. I know a couple of my sources right now were planning on doing an X space about this to absolutely, you know, disregard this whistleblower, basically call him out. They are disappointed in the report. They believe that it was that if he really was working black ops, he would know that this was some sort of test balloon that is shaped like an egg. And there are samples of this egg all over X right now. If you go search in UFO whistleblower / egg or whatever you want to put in there, it's very easy for everybody to find. And, you know, this is going to be controversial. Now, Ross is steadfast that this guy is telling the truth. He's got some other people who he served with in the military who claim that this guy, Jake Barber, is very stand up and very astute. And many of the current whistleblowers who are out are standing with him as well. So, yeah. Once again, the UFO community is up in arms.
Well, what I saw was what you warned us against, which was grainy footage of we're not sure what. And you said that last week. You said, well, I don't want to see grainy footage of I don't know what. And you're right. Now, I have a more important question for you. Thank you for that update on the News Nation report with Ross Coulthart on a UFO, a military pilot who saw a UFO something. And if you go to News Nation, you can watch this video right now. You can see the video. Decide for yourself if this was a captured UFO, if this was a captured whatever it is. But this is from the most credible source I know, which is Ross Coulthart, a reporter for News Nation. And it's pretty interesting. Take a look. Now, I have a Canadian question for you, Mr. Scott.
Yes.
Why is your milk in bags?
It's funny, the bag of milk actually stopped in British Columbia a couple of decades ago. Apparently it was to keep it fresher. And, you know, now there's a bunch of Tupperware containers that everybody uses for juice or water because we don't have milk bags put in. But apparently in the east, from Ontario eastward, they are still bagging their milk.
Yeah, they are. It's but why? Do you know why?
I've always heard that it's because the milk keeps fresher than going into the jugs. Huh. I don't know whether or not that is true. I remember my mom going shopping, and for the longest time, until they started making those cardboard cartons, and then eventually the 1 gallon milk jug, or up here it's a 4 liter jug, we always had bagged milk, but they seem to get away from that. But why? I don't know. It always was a mystery to me, because all you do is cut the end off and pour.
Well, Dave Scott, your entire life is built on mysteries.
Very true.
SpacedOutRadio.com, SpacedOutRadio on YouTube. You can hear and see Mr. Scott do his great broadcast and his great updates on UFOs, Bigfoot, anomalous activity. You're a great friend of the show. Thank you for everything, Mr. Scott. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now, join. Let's be in space.
Mommy, Mama, I have something to tell you.
Yes, baby.
I have a crush.
Is it a boy or a girl?
A boy.
What did you just say?
Calm down, babe. Calm down.
No,
calm down.
No child of mine is going to be straight.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shops.
Walmart.
Sterling Shops.
Interesting things happen at Walmart nearly every day of the week, all over the U.S. of A, and quite frankly, the world, because Walmart is the largest corporation in the entire world. Locations everywhere. Portsmouth, Virginia, feller named Daquan Johnson rolls into the Walmart a little distraught and decided he was going to do some stabbing. Daquan just started stabbing random people right there at the Walmart. He was coming up behind them and stabbing them. One person saw him with the knife, and Daquan said, well, while there's still no surprise to this, I'm going to stab him anyways. Cops roll in. They pick up Mr. Johnson. He's asked, why did you do all that stabbing? He said he had family issues. Daquan Johnson, by the way, not the first time he's been picked up. Apparently quite a lengthy criminal history. Keep your head on a swivel. When you walk into the Walmart, you never know when there's going to be a random guy doing some stabbing. Most of the time, it's just shoplifting. Or a lover's quarrel. A husband and wife yelling at their kids. Some mom counting to three for her child to come back. That's normally what you get. But because it's the largest corporation in the world, you never know. Because crazy people sometimes are the customers. Thank you, associates. Thank you for keeping us safe. And thank you, police. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Every damn night. Inspired by kazoo players.
So many people play the kazoo wrong, so I'm going to share the secret with you. As a professional kazoo player, I don't want to brag or anything, but I am the best at what I do. You don't play it like this. You don't even play it with the thick end. You actually take the little bucket part, put it to your belly button, and nothing's gonna play because you are the one being played, my friend. Don't text back your ex.
Do you wanna know how simple guys are? Guys want just three things. Just three things. They want attention. Physical touch, talk to them, anything. They want reassurance of your feelings for him. Because they have trust issues too, just tell them how you feel. You can do this once a day, but just do it. They want you to be happy. Literally want you to be happy. It's not about us. When you smile, they smile. If the girl is happy, the guy is happy.
Are there aliens at Area 51?
I think that might be a question that I get more than any question. And I will say this, I don't think I'm a believer, but I've interviewed pilots that look, I like Tom Cruise, but better than Tom Cruise. The blonde crew cuts, the Hulk, and this, yes, sir. And they were in the Oval Office, three or four pilots. These are not people that make up stories. These are some. They said, all I know, sir, is there was a round object that was going four times faster than my F-22, which is a very fast plane. And it wasn't, you know, it shouldn't have been. It was round, sir. They have seen, I mean, four or five guys I've interviewed, solid people, great pilots for the U.S. Air Force, etc. They've seen things that they cannot explain.
Hello. My name is Mr.
Hack. Well, I don't think you understand. I want to date you. I want to hang out and eat junk food and watch bad movies and just open myself up to you emotionally, physically, all of that. But I also want you to leave me alone.
That's the challenge. You and I are not extroverts. Extroverts love to be with other people. We love to hang out with other people. Not me. I never have. And it's taken me forever to understand that I'm an introvert. I if you met me socially, you would probably think I was an extrovert because I'll talk to you and I'll be funny. I mean, I imagine I'm funny. My mother said, not everyone's going to think you're funny, Walter. Not everyone's going to think you're funny. All right. Not everyone thinks I'm funny. But I can pull it off for 20 minutes. For 20 minutes, I can sit there at a party or dinner or whatever, you know, with John Katsimatidis and be charming. But I'm exhausted. At the end of it, I am just exhausted. And I need to be alone to recoup. My 12-year-old was born understanding this. She can have a very social day, spend time with her best friend, Edith. They play Roblox, Zoobs. But then the next day, I'll say, do you want to see Edith? And she'll say, no, I need to be alone today. And she just knows. And most parents will go, why don't you go outside and play? Do you want to hang out with your friend? Do you want a play date? But it ignores the fact that some of us are introverts, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling at Night, inspired by a single guy.
Whenever I meet a pretty girl, the first thing I look for is intelligence. Because if she doesn't have that, then she's mine.
Look at you. It's about 37 past the hour, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling, a live radio show on Sunday night. There are no live radio shows on Sunday night unless it's run by Alan First or Bill White, the only ones to have the common sense to say, you know, we really should have a live show.
How are you equal if the men are the ones that have to fight and die to defend the country? The men are the ones that build and maintain all the infrastructure, right? None of this stuff in the studio is built or maintained by women. Do you know that 90% of infrastructure jobs are still held by men? Mm-hmm. And that if you look at the top 20 jobs held by women now in 2024 versus 1924 are almost the exact same. So women have had 100 years to do whatever they want, and they still do the same 20 jobs they did 100 years ago, other than we switched out farm labor for HR work. But other than that, we're secretaries, nurses, daycare ladies, early childhood education, administrative assistants, retail workers, all the same that we were a century ago. So if the men are the ones tasked with every time there's a natural disaster, they have to go out and rescue people from the fires and the floodwaters, and every time there's a war, the men have to go and fight it and defend the country, and anytime there's a criminal who needs to be violently arrested, it's going to be a man who goes and does that, not a woman. Where does the equality come in? If we're doing the fluffy jobs. We're all singers. We got a lot of singers and musicians, which is cool. It's great. I love music too. But y'all ain't rescuing people and doing the heavy lifting or the dirty or the dangerous jobs. Like, who collects the trash? Men. Who does all the steel working and oil rig work and all of the sewer cleaning?
Didn't you love the fire person in Los Angeles who was a lesbian? And she was asked, can you carry my 225-pound husband who's passed out in a fire? Can you carry him to safety? Can you take him out of the fire and carry him to safety? And she said, if I have to carry him out of a fire, he got himself into the wrong place. Whoa, really? I knew Captain Patrick Brown of the New York City Fire Department, and Captain Brown was one of those firemen that other firemen wanted to be posted in his station. He was one of those guys. His bravery was unquestioned, but more importantly, he was a leader. He knew how to manage a tough group of firemen in the New York City Fire Department. And I don't think Patrick Brown ever thought, I'm going to rescue this guy, but gee, he was in the wrong place. He made a mistake being there. No real fireman would ever think that. They would think, well, I'm not sure because I'm not a fireman, but they would think, it is an honor to be here. I'm going to save this person. I'm not going to think about anything else except getting this person out of the fire. And Captain Patrick Brown is a man I talk to pretty much every day. And he ran into the World Trade Center. He ran into the World Trade Center, and he spent his morning trying to save women in the World Trade Center and getting them to safety until the World Trade Center collapsed and killed him. And that the terrorists murdered him. They murdered my Patrick Brown. Sweet, lovely man. Wonderful man. All right, we have a lot to discuss now, really. I'm excited about tomorrow, and I know you are. I'm excited about tomorrow because I'm excited about the 200 executive orders. I mean, my gosh, who writes those? Ladies and gentlemen, who writes the executive orders? And are they on payroll now? Did they start already? Who writes those? I have to find out who writes executive orders. And then how do they get enacted? Like, who gets those memos? How does this work? There are so many simple common sense things that are going to be corrected immediately. And I am delighted about that. What I'm not delighted about is, I shared it with you before, but I'm going to share it again. Throughout our lives, if you and I had a conversation and you voted for somebody and you said, this is who I voted for, and I thought, why did you do that? If I didn't vote for that person, I wouldn't say, you're an idiot, I'm never talking to you again, that's it. My eyes wouldn't glaze and I wouldn't run away. I would look and go, why are you voting for that person? And I'd be curious because we're friends. I would have the conversation with you. Why are you voting for that person? But something happened. And I'm not saying this in any sort of naive way. I really don't know what happened. I have many friends who, because I work on this radio station, decided I voted for Donald Trump and therefore could not talk to me, banned me, canceled me on Facebook, stopped the invitations, would not speak to me. People I've known for 30 years will not speak to me, period. Like, somehow or another, because I'm on this station, I'm responsible for who is voted for, but I never talk about politics. I'm just guilty by association. They imagine I voted for Donald Trump, but I'd never tell you who I voted for. No matter what, I wouldn't tell you, because the great thing about our country and our system, as opposed to, oh, say, North Korea, is our ballot is sacred and secret. That's how we have a constitutional republic. It is sacred and secret. I don't have to tell anybody. And even if I tell you, I could be lying. I could just say whatever you want to hear. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is between me and that ballot, period. But I don't know how this happened, that if somebody imagines somebody else voted for a person they didn't like, the conversation stops. Every human being, I mean, this is the most obvious thing I could possibly say, every human being has great strengths and great weaknesses. Everybody. And because somebody has some weaknesses that I perceive as being serious, that doesn't mean I'll never talk about them again to you. It's weird. It's this weird, horrible thing that's happened where we can't have a conversation. I talked to my friend Alan, who's a dance dad. One of my kids is two of my kids are dance girls. And I sit around there at dance class, wait forever for it to be done, talk to the other dads. Here's a dance dad. He's 300 pounds, Dave. He could kill me with his thumb. Like, he's 300 pounds of muscle, could kill me with his thumb. He's a shop foreman and a manufacturing plant. He's the head of the union. He's been there 25 years. And I said to him, this union man, I said, who are you going to vote for? Oh, I'm going to vote for Trump. Why aren't you going to vote for the other one? We don't trust her. Oh. And I said, well, how do you feel when these experts on television say you're deplorable, stupid, despicable? How do you feel about that, Dave? I don't feel too good about it, Walt. Well, why? Because I'm a 9-year apprentice tradesman. I have 3 degrees from Penn State. And I know how to build your car. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every email gets answered. And if you want the JB Bakery peanut butter, not peanut butter, chocolate chip cookie recipe, and you do because you're doing nothing tomorrow, might as well bake some world-class cookies, just send me an email and ask for it. waltermsterling@gmail.com. I've got an astonishing website. It's waltersterlingshow.com. And this is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night. Ah!
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about our life. We live with 8 kids in an old house, 150-year-old house.
And it's really cold right now.
Drafty, too.
Right. So what else am I going to do besides sit around and watch Masterpiece Theater when you're asleep at night?
This is a subscription you have?
Yes, and we specifically got this. We got this subscription because 8 years ago, when our youngest was born, I couldn't move for a very long time. And so at night, when everyone was asleep and I was up, I was watching one particular show. We just got this subscription so I could watch this one particular show.
So I'm so used to it. Here's what happens. It'll be about midnight or 1 a.m. I'll wake up, and I hear all of these European accents, either they're speaking French or Austrian, vaguely British. I don't know
Italian,
what they're saying.
Whatever they're speaking.
Yeah, whatever. And I know. Oh,
Dutch.
She's deep into her stories right now.
I am. So, but that's how it goes. Like talking about the one show that I had to get it to watch. As soon as one season's over, then it's like a year until it's back. And I'm not like the kind of person who's watching something every night. I wait to see when that season of that show is coming back so I can specifically dive into that.
And she's in bed right next to me watching this on her cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
No television.
No.
Just a little screen. Most people are going for 60-inch, 70-inch screens. You're going 3 inches.
Again, it's not something I want to do all the time, so I don't want the big screen up there. But what happened was I saw an ad that my show, my stories were back, Miss Scarlet and the Duke, which, by the way, I'm really mad at them because they've kicked the Duke off, and now it's just Miss Scarlet. So it's finally back, like a year later, I can watch it. And there's only 6 episodes, and then it's done.
And you told me it took 5 episodes for you to stop being angry at the fact that the Duke dumped her.
Right. He went off to America, and now there's a new guy. And it took me 5 episodes to fall in love with the new guy enough to be okay to watch the show.
I'm guilty of this, too. I don't watch any shows, but I do binge watch things like the guy who lives in his RV with his cat and drives around the country on YouTube, or the guy that builds a shack in the woods out of sticks and lives in it for a month. You know, I do watch those sort of things.
Right, and we do it for like 2 nights, and then we're done for another year. So if anybody out there from Masterpiece Theater is listening, could we just bring the Duke back?
Good tip. And contact my wife at her Instagram page, Just Being Mom.
And if you want to find Dan, you can find him on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
All right, my Midnight Misfits, Walter M. Sterling, a national radio show. There are certain names that people have, and those people are never ugly. They're always pretty. Like, every Emily I've ever known is pretty. And every Chad Corey, every Corey I've ever known is handsome. And if I was Corey with an Emily, I'd probably ask her to marry me right now. Good evening, my friends. My name is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration. Callum only stopped pulling the trigger when he realized there was nothing left to shoot at. He lowered his gun and waited for further commands from Ro. None came. He looked around. She had returned to the outside of the hidden chamber from which they'd emerged. Her eyes were hidden behind her dark glasses, and he couldn't tell where she stared as he approached. How are you feeling? She asked. Fine. If there were other people out here, you think you could tear them to shreds? He paused to consider the question. Probably. Good. She pushed herself off the ledge she'd been leaning against and climbed down into the elevator car. Callum followed her. He waited for her to activate the buttons to close the roof and send them back underground. When she didn't, he reached for the illuminated panel. She grabbed his wrist. I didn't say we were done here. What else do you want me to do? Ro fiddled with the bottom of his shirt. Her fingers walked up his chest, dancing across the thin fabric separating her touch from his firm muscles. I did always enjoy watching you move, she said. When you get into your zone, when your body takes over. He glanced up. All he saw was the flawless blue sky, yet he was skeptical. Here? But there's no one else around for miles and miles. She pressed against him. Droplets of sweat dotted her forehead, and her skin glistened with the lotion she had applied earlier. Don't you want to take advantage of the fresh air while we still can? Damn her convincing arguments. He twitched with anticipation as she kissed his neck. Sunlight illuminated the small enclosure, and he smelled the dusty aroma of the desert's rolling dunes. Her body was already warm, her skin flushed with heat. When he ducked down to capture her mouth with his, salt mingled with the sweetness of her tongue. They were sweaty, dirty, and exposed to the elements. His senses flooded with all the stimuli, and his blood raced through his veins. He grabbed her by the waist and spun around to pin her to the wall. Her hands urged him on, tugging at his clothing. Ro yanked the t-shirt off over his head. He did the same with her tank top. When he saw the jet black satin of her bra, he laughed. I thought you wore as little underwear as possible. Can't have the lab rats staring. Their heads might explode. She took his hands and pushed them against her chest. I'll be nice and save that pleasure just for you. He squeezed, digging his fingers into the pliant flesh. His palms moved easily across the smooth fabric, dampened by her perspiration. He found the clasp behind her back and jerked the shiny garment away. With the obstruction gone, his slickened skin glided across hers as he crushed her lips with another kiss. The slippery sensations sent even more energy between his legs, and Callum could feel her heart pounding beneath his. Prior events hadn't dulled her capacity to eliminate the surrounding world and draw his focus to her. His goal of plunging inside her sent all other conscious thoughts to the background.